If you came expecting to hear a word from a preacher tonight, you're going to be disappointed, because I've come to bring a word from the Lord. And I'd like to begin tonight simply by just telling you a story of something that happened in history in 1963. No, I was not born yet. But in 1963, on December the 7th, history was made in the world of televised sports. It was during the Army-Navy game that the very first instant replay ever took place. Now, they had tried in times past to do a replay of something, but they'd have to go to commercial and they would have to do all this stuff. But now, the gentleman's name was Tony Verna. He was a director, producer, and he invented a machine that would allow you to watch the past the second after it happened. That machine weighed 1,300 pounds. Think about that. And since the moment of the instant replay, the rules of sports have changed. Now, if the ref makes a questionable call when Kentucky is playing Louisville, has that ever happened? Or when one of our NFL teams are playing another, if there's a questionable call made, they can go back and they can review the tape and see if they made the right call or not. Now, you're probably wondering what this has to do with anything. And that's a fair question. But as soon as your wonderful pastor texted me and invited me to come to speak to you tonight, we stopped texting, and I heard the Holy Spirit say the word, replay. Replay. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but after asking the Lord, you know, when God gives you an inspiration, you check it out with Google, right? We used to get our sermons from God, now we get them from Google. No, I didn't get this from Google. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, replay. See, I think that we all have this 1,300-pound machine in our head. And we often refer to replays in life. When we get in a situation of uncertainty or a set of unique circumstances, many times we hit the replay button to the past. And it works kind of both ways. First of all, many who have been on the brink of incredible success in life hit the replay button on their failures. And they start thinking about the way they've messed up so many times, and now they lose their confidence in this new opportunity. And if the devil can keep you focused on replaying your failures, he can steal your success. And your replay might become a repeat. But it works just the opposite. Sometimes we get in situations that we don't want to be in. So what do? We escape the unpleasantries of the now with the pleasantries of the past. And we look back and we think about how it used to be. There's a lot of pastors doing that right now. There's a lot of pastors thinking back to their pre-COVID crowds and their pre-COVID way of doing ministry. And they like to go back to there and they like to dwell and think how wonderful it was. But you know what? You can press replay all you want, but the past is gone. It's over. Now, I'm going to try to get this through my voice so I can finish preaching this to you tonight. What we're going to hear from the Holy Spirit is that we don't need a replay and we don't need a repeat. We need a reset. Many of you listening to me tonight know the story that we find in the Old Testament of the children of Israel when they have left the land of Egypt and they were headed for their promised land experience. They had been slaves for 430 years. That basically means that all of them that left Egypt toward the promised land had never been anything more than a slave. And God raised up a man by the name of Moses to go before Pharaoh in Egypt with a word from God. And he said this, let my people go. And here's what the scripture says. I love the way the NLT puts it. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Now the objective is, when I'm driving, is to get to the destination as quickly as I can. When I see the GPS predict the time that I will arrive, I immediately say, challenge accepted. My goal is to beat that expectation, to get where I'm going and get there fast. Now, I feel the Holy Spirit on that one, I'm just going to tell you. Now, we see that Moses leads them out, and we see that God led them toward a place we call the Red Sea. At the same time, God's taking them in an indirect path to their future. And he leads them to the Red Sea, and then he touches the heart of Pharaoh and hardens it against them, and Pharaoh's army pursues them. So we have God's people in a God is my only hope moment. The Red Sea is in front of them. Their mortal enemy is behind them. Their mountainous regions on either side of them, they had no place to go. Only God could help them. And we're going to see in this story, I think I just kicked my water bottle over there. You could, hey, just keep it to Chris and the children next time, okay? It's interesting. Let me drop this on you before we go into it. It's interesting that Moses is a type and shadow physically of Jesus Christ. Moses grew up in a palace. He chose to leave that place of glory and come dwell with the people in order to set them free. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He grew up, if I can say it that way, in heaven he has always been, but he left his place of glory and splendor to come and dwell among us for the purpose of setting us free. And I thank God tonight for what Jesus has done. How many of you are grateful that Jesus left his glory in heaven and came to earth to set you free? Now, this God is our only hope moment holds three truths I want to drop on you as quickly as I can tonight. And the first one is this: God has a purpose for the path you're on. He had a beautiful future in mind for them, but they weren't ready to receive it yet. Did you ever think this one thing about your own journey? That where God has you presently, he has some great things ahead of you, but things seem to be stalled a little bit. They don't seem to be moving as quickly as you want them to move. The Bible says that God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness, and I believe he had a purpose for that. Did you ever think that in this moment where you feel like everything is stalled in your life, that God may just be getting you ready for what he has ready for you? See, it's simple for us. We want to go to our next. We want to get on to the good part. We want to live in the fullness of his favor and the center of his will and do everything God has for us. But did you ever think that before God works something out for us, he may have to work something out in us? I'm going to say that again. Did you ever think before God works something out for us, he may have to work something out in us? He knows our readiness. Listen, here's the thing. You will never go to your next in life. The only way you will get to your next, you won't go to your next, you will grow to your next. They looked like an army when they left Egypt, but they hadn't fought anybody. There's a lot of people that look gifted and talented and able and strong, but they've never been in a battle yet. And God led them in an indirect path, in a longer way to their destiny, because they would have faced an enemy that they would have surely lost to. Did you ever think that God is leading you in the path of your life that you're in right now? Because if you'd have gone in the direct route, you would have faced a battle you would have surely lost. I don't know if I'm preaching to me or to you tonight. Maybe instead of complaining about where we are, we should look up and say, God, okay, you've got me here. What do you need to work out in me so you can work something out for me? What do you need to work out in me that is in the way of my destiny? What do you need to work out in me that would prohibit me from walking in the fullness of everything to which I am called? Come on, somebody. God loves us. He knows us. And if he chooses to lead us in a roundabout way and we don't take the short path to destiny, it's because he's got something to work out inside of us. See, God had an amazing future for his people, and he still does today. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a future for you. See, God wants to take you to your promise, but first, he's got to deal with your past. I often say that your past cannot prevent your future. The church where I'm privileged to pastor loves that statement because we got a church full of people with a past, including the pastor. But it's only if you're willing to let God deal with your past. And we see from the encounter at the Red Sea, in this God is our only hope moment, how God uses present difficulty to deal with our past. Sometimes God uses difficulty to reveal something in our lives we haven't fully dealt with. And this is what happened to the Israelites. Watch this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Bunch of crying, terrified people. No wonder God didn't want to send them into battle, right? They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the desert to die?" I don't know if they put their hands on their hips or not, but it felt good while I was doing it. "What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." There's the replay. They weren't happy with their present. So they tried to get rid of the unpleasantries of their present by looking to the pleasantries of their past. Replay. So many people still do it today, and you will never get to where you're going by pressing replay. I could use an amen, even if it's from somebody's mama tonight. Now, they were out of Egypt, but as the old preacher said, Egypt was not yet out of them. 430 years of captivity, it was all they ever knew. They had been set free, but they had no idea how to be free. How many of God's people get excited when you say, "Jesus came to set us free"? And boy, they rejoice, and they're happy, and they're shouting, and they're praising God, and they're crying. But then they get out 6 days a week, and they have no idea how to be free. Because they still wear the chains of their past. See, we have to learn to live free. We get a gift of freedom when Jesus comes. It is for freedom's sake that Christ died, that he has set us free. Understand that. But when you become free, you have to learn how to live as a free people. And I think we're forgetting that not only in the country, but in the church today. Hear me now. We have no clue sometimes how to live free. And when we come to God, we have a little bit of Egypt in us too. When God took them in the wilderness and fed them with manna from heaven, all they talked about was the spices in the foods of Egypt. They look back on the spices, and we tend to look back on the vices. We try to live free, dealing with our stuff the same way we did when we were slaves. How many Christians today, I didn't intend to say all this when I got up here tonight. Maybe it's just the Spirit working in this church that God is making me be so honest with you. But how many Christians today still self-medicate? How many Christians are having to check themselves into rehab centers? How many Christians are still going to the computer and looking at pornography to escape their problems? That's how slaves deal with things. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Those are the vices of slaves. But I've come to tell you, we can not only come to Jesus and become free, we can learn to live free. We can learn to receive that gift of freedom and let it live out through our lives. When we face present difficulty, we tend to think how great it was in Egypt. Nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is that sometimes we're holding on to things that Jesus set us free from. Let me ask you, is there something in your life tonight that you're holding on to that Jesus set you free from? Because I believe Jesus sets us completely free. We have to learn how to live that way. See, we may be positionally free, but we got to get practically free. We got to start living like free people. We have to shift our reliance from those old vices of the past and learn to rely on God. Then that was the lesson they were about to learn. They complained about how tough it was and rejoiced about how great it used to be. They forgot the whole 430 years we were slaves thing. See, so many people who glory in their sin days, they've got a trophy room of sin in their heart. And when they get talking to people, they start talking about all the things they used to do and all the fun they used to have. Listen, those are the kind of things that Jesus set me free from. I don't know about you. I can't look behind me and brag about anything when I was a slave. But the one thing I can brag on today is that I met Jesus Christ. He changed my life, and I'm not that person anymore. God wants to deal with our past because there's no greater threat to our promise than our tendencies of our past. He wants to deal with it so he can lead us to the place he has for us. The next lesson, not only did they need to learn about freedom, they needed to learn how to release their fear. Now, it's interesting how the focus of the Israelites were. They still had a victim mentality they were dealing with. They far outnumbered Pharaoh's army that came after them. There was more with them than there was with their enemy. Yet they were willing to concede to their past and forego their future. Hear me now. Every time we give into the past, we surrender to something less than who we are. We give our past power over our future. Listen, you are no longer a slave. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are free. You are no longer the victim of Satan. You are the victor over Satan. Are you hearing what I'm telling you tonight? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells me that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. And the only way you can be more than a conqueror is to be the recipient of a victory that you didn't have to fight the battle for. Are you hearing what I'm telling you tonight? Jesus Christ has fought the battle for you and brought to you the victory. You are more than the conqueror. Wow. They were fixing to learn the lesson. Fixing is a word you can use in Kentucky or Tennessee, and everybody knows it. They were fixing to learn how to let God handle their enemy. The Bible says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord he will bring you today. And the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Now, when you don't deal with the devils of your past, they will try and steal your future. But you got to let God deal with the demons. And there's two important things he did to deal with them. Let me keep reading. He said to Moses, "Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will come in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army." Isn't it great that God has a plan to gain glory through exposing your enemy? Through his chariots, and he's going to use the horsemen too. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God had been traveling in front of Israel's army, now withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night long. Now we see Moses as a physical type of Christ. We see this angel as a heavenly type of Christ. And the angel did for them what Jesus does for us when we turn our lives over to him. Watch this now. Jesus positions himself between us and our past. He casts light on our future and darkness on our past. And here's the way I really want to put it. Jesus is the only thing standing between me and the man I used to be. Hear me now. Listen, I know some of you Kentucky boys have kicked up your heels in your days. I understand that, just like we Tennessee boys have. And you Tennessee girls and those Kentucky girls, y'all are a whole lot alike. We did a whole lot of sinning. And the only thing that makes me the man I am today and keeps me from going back to the man I used to be is that Jesus has positioned himself in between me and my past and says, no more are you going to give in to your enemy. You're going forward in Jesus' name. Wow. But wait, there's more. God swallows up. He said, I'm going to gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and horses. How does God gain glory over your enemy other than to totally defeat them? And that's exactly what happened. When they followed the Israelites, as the Israelites walked on dry ground, the water began to close over the enemy. See, when we face difficulty like that of the impassable Red Sea, the enemy likes to pounce on us. When we're having a hard day, when we're in the midst of an uncertain circumstance, he likes to bring fear, as did the armies of Egypt against Israel. But understand something. I've come with a word from the Lord for you tonight. You might be in your difficulty, but God is about to drown your devils in your dilemma. Did you hear what I said? I said, God is about to drown your devils in your dilemma. You may think that it's difficulty that's designed to destroy you, but I declare it's a difficulty designed to develop you and show you exactly what God can do when you let God have your past and you embrace the future he's got for you. Come on, somebody. We are here to celebrate the future that God has for us. Wow. It was a setup for the glory of God so that the people of God could know they didn't have to depend on Egypt anymore. They had a God upon whom they could depend. So many people, I just heard your pastor say, a number of people the other night gave their heart to Jesus. Just came flooding the altars, gave their heart to the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Guess what? You're probably having a tough week. Things probably didn't go perfect for you all week long. You've already encountered some difficulty. But understand something. God is just training you to trust him. He's trying to let you know that you're going to have some of the same things chase you that used to chase you, but now you can find your refuge in him. See, God wants to deal with our past so he can take us to our promise. Look at this word we see here. The Bible says in Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now, that would have disqualified most of us right there. Stillness is not in our vocabulary, nor our behavioral patterns, but God says, be still. Watch this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites, move on. Move on. Here's the reset. Notice their tendency when they hit difficulty was to hit replay. And God's saying, you don't need replay, you need reset. I've come to tell somebody in this room tonight, it's time for a reset in your life. You've replayed all you can replay. I remember back in the day when we first came from 8-track tapes to cassette tapes. How many of you remember cassette tapes? Young people, just put your fingers in your ears. You're not going to understand this anyway. But we had cassette tapes that if we wanted to hear the same song again, we had to sit there and push a button and watch that thing go backwards, and then we hope we got the right spot where the song started. And I can't tell you how much energy we wasted hitting replay. Rewind, replay, rewind, replay. God says, move on. Some of you are still singing Achy Breaky Heart, and I've got a newsflash, it's not the 90s anymore. Move on. Look at your neighbor and say, move on. I'm about to drop a word I didn't plan to drop. God says, I've taken care of your past. Move on. move on. See, where are we going, Pastor? Anywhere but there. You can't court your future flirting with your past. The new girl's going to get jealous. Are you hearing me? When I met my wife, I couldn't court her and flirt with anybody I'd known before. Hey, it's not allowed. Did you know that? There's that forsaking all others thing that she'll remind you of in a hurry. And I'm just wondering, how many of you have given up the courtship of your future while you've been flirting with your past? While you've been looking back and admiring what used to be and you miss what can be? Because here's the good news. What's ahead of you with God is better than what's behind you with the devil. God has a bigger future for you than you have a past. Your past may be big, but your future is bigger because the God of your future is bigger than all of your past. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place now. Now watch this. Jaron, come join me, buddy. Is that what you tell him here? I just point to mine, and sometimes I have to point three times. He's so caught up in the wonderful sermon, he don't even see it. And yes. Then they answer, "Speak, Lord." I don't know how that happens, but watch this now. The moment you quit flirting with your past and start courting your future, you're no longer running from who you used to be. Now you're running to who you're supposed to be. You're no longer running from anything. You're running to something. I can't tell you in my mind how long I ran from the man I used to be. I can't tell you how that was my motivation. I just don't want to be what I was. You know what? I can't keep worrying about what I was. I've got to focus on what I'm going to become through Christ who strengthens me. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? God says, move on. And then what happens? God makes the way. See, we want God to make the way, and then we'll move on. God says, you be willing to move on, and I'll make the way. That's faith. That's when you start walking forward, and you're walking right toward the water. But the Bible said Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. It's our job to move forward. It's God's job to make the way. If you find yourself right now in this moment that God is my only hope, I want to give you a word from the Lord. Start moving towards your obstacle. Start running head on toward whatever's standing in your way. I've got a word for Three Trees Church. You know what? We were both doing a little better before the pandemic hit. We had a few more numbers in the seats, but your pastor has decided to do something. He's decided not to go back and reclaim what was lost, but to go on ahead and see what God has, because what God has ahead of this church is greater than what's behind this church. Did you hear what I said? Pastor, move on. Move on. Move on, and God will make the way. I'm giving a word to somebody right now. God is saying, move on, and I'm going to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And everything that's standing in your way is God's responsibility. Wow. Move on. Do it anyway. I don't see my way to my future. Just move on. I don't see what's on the other side of my obstacle. You never will till you get through the obstacle. Run towards it. Why would you think God went to the trouble to drown the enemies of their past if he was not going to handle the obstacles of their future? Why would you think God went to all the trouble he went to redeem you from your past, to leave you abandoned in your present situation? Move on. Move on. I hear the Holy Spirit say, move on. Nothing behind you can prohibit you, and nothing ahead of you can prevent you from the promise God has over your life. Devil, anything in the past is not going to prohibit this church, and nothing in the future is going to prevent this church from walking in the fullness of what God sees for her. So I just speak to you, Satan, and say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Stand still and watch God work. The enemy you are fighting today, you will see no more forever. God has great providence, great promise, great purpose over this house and over your life. And I declare in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are having a standstill moment right now. And we're going to move from a standstill moment to a move on moment. How many of you are struggling with something in your life right now you need God's intervention with? God is your only hope. Pastor, we've both been there in our health before. God was our only hope. But God showed up. And I declare the God that showed up for Pastor Eric Gilbert when we didn't know which way it was going to go is the God that showed up for Barry Smith when we didn't know which way it was going to go. And the God that showed up for Barry Smith and Pastor Eric Gilbert is the God that's going to show up for you right now in your life in the name of Jesus. I declare it over you. So I say, sickness, be healed in Jesus' name. Devil, be cast away in Jesus' name. Doubts be gone. Fear be crushed. Poverty be broken. Blessing and favor and purpose come in Jesus' name. Hurry to this altar. If you need prayer, hurry to this altar right quick. Pastors, can you help me out? Pastors and your wife, staff pastors, come quickly. I hope I haven't preached too long, but I don't want to miss this moment right now. I want you to quickly come if there's a need in your life. If you're ready to quit flirting with your past and start courting your future, I want you to come home. If there's a need for healing in your body, I want you to come. If you need God's provision in your life, I want you to come. You're about to have a standstill and see moment. I don't want you to miss it. Come as quickly as you can. Well, Pastor, shouldn't everybody be bowing their heads and closing their eyes? I think we're all family here. Just come on. Come quickly. As you continue to come, just come. If you want to come fill the altar, we'll pray together right here in the middle. It doesn't matter. Just come as quickly as you can. Thank you, Father.